Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. Hour number two, wall-to-wall Saints talk with the BS and Beer Podcast crew on 97.7. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, here. Wesley Coleman on the board. And listen, the Saints, what a, I mean, just a heart-pounding, exciting game.
We
and
had it all the way.
They did. They had it. They had it the whole way. It's just, you know, you still get nervous. You know, it's like the
Didn't
days,
anybody call you and tell you that?
No.
Well, why not? You didn't give out that phone number?
Oh, that might be why we didn't get any hotline. Listen, if you want to be part of the show, 701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline.
There you go.
We didn't. But you can also get in touch with us email, and that's bsnbeer@icloud.com. And matter of fact, I do have one of those from our good friend, Little Dale, more commonly known as Little Dice. Lil, you like that?
No, that's terrible.
Okay. So he says, glad we pulled out a win. Sucks that Rankins got hurt. Hope the offensive line will start dominating again. And wanted to know you guys favorite pre or post game Saints song. I really love Heart of the City. And then he says Choppa style is great as well. And he got little links there. And I guess I could have
Heart of the City. On him and-
is that like one of those 80s songs? We built this city.
No,
it's different.
Same one.
We built this city on rock and roll.
It's the one that says the heart of the city is the Superdome.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was way off, man. I was way off.
Hey, Wesley, can you see what I'm saying here, brother?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. All right. Listen, you know, hour number two. It's bonus coverage.
You're thinking of Jefferson Starship.
That's the one.
Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, yeah. Dave, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
Yay! Woo! All right. Listen, while we're on this, you know, the season's coming to an end.
Yes.
After we win the Super Bowl. If you want to hear our show, if you've missed any part of it, or maybe you don't have time on the radio, 97.7, to listen to the whole thing, you can download the show.
That's right.
Just go to Podbeam, or you go to iTunes. Google Play, iTunes, yep. Just about anywhere on the internet, you can find a podcast, listen to us in the off season until we get back to football season. We'll probably be on the air again next year. I'm sure they love us. They'll have us back. Did you open that letter yet, the pink one?
I have not.
No, okay. Well, I'm not opening it up yet. So until they're going to have to make me leave. All right. But anyway, yeah, give us a like. Give us a follow. Go to one of those places and give us a good review, all that other stuff. We love it, man.
And we'll be having a third hour available as well. And look, I'm telling you, you should take advantage. Bitcoin is falling. The numbers are coming down. And so if you really are interested, you know, Heath and I are going to be setting up that wallet for the off season. Man, all it takes is just a few Bitcoin, and you two can be on that third hour.
Yeah, well, don't forget about that. And make sure you get your mathematical calculations right for that Bitcoin. Listen, we had a big loss. Sheldon Rankins went down. The guy's stepping in. Wesley was just talking about him during the break.
You're Canadian?
Save it on your mind.
All right, hosers. I want all 12 of us fighting for every meter on all three downs. We're going to make this a Boxing Day the Prime Minister will never forget.
Hey, Wesley, little clue. When I have my finger up, like, don't talk, that means don't talk. just in the future, so you know that. Appreciate your input, though. David Onyemata, he's going to have to step up and be a huge part of this defense and the success of the defense to try as best he can to fill the shoes of Sheldon. Of who? I'm sorry. Who was that, Wesley? Who was the guy that got hurt? The finger. Okay. You know what?
You
would have been much
finger?
More clever if you just showed me a different finger.
That's what I was waiting
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I was. Knowing you the way I do, you know, the your hold-it finger is different than the hold-it finger. Okay, so David Onyemata, Tomas.
Yes. I thought we were going to Wesley.
Okay, Wesley. Tomas.
Sheldon Rankins.
There you go. That's the name. Okay, now you can come back to me.
All right, so you feel that he's going to be an adequate fill-in for Rankins, who's been huge this year.
Yeah, I mean, not to undersell the fact that Rankins has been amazing and has played great, but Onyemata, Tyler Davison, and Stallworth have really held it together with a good rotation there. Now, maybe having less of a rotation might hurt us because somebody's getting tired, depending on how much our defense is on the field. I think that that could hurt us more than saying Rankins is out and Onyemata is in for him. Onyemata has played great. He's had his best season as a pro as well. And this is a guy who the mental game, he's had the physical game since he was drafted and brought in. His mental game is really starting to come around. Yep. And we were just talking about, there was a play where he rushed around like he was going after the quarterback. And then out of the corner of his eye, he saw that Darren Sproles was going to split off. Well, he went over and kind of blocked Darren Sproles or acted like Darren Sproles was blocking him.
Right.
So that Darren Sproles couldn't run out into the flat and stopped a huge, what could have been a huge play, because it was nobody playing defense on that side of the field if he let Sproles get past him. That mental game is really starting to come together for him. And I have a lot of faith in him doing well.
See, I like how you put that, because the fact of the matter is he's an imposing physical specimen. Not only is he strong, he's athletic. He has everything that you would want in a top 15 draft pick. But the problem is he didn't play a lot of football in college.
Yeah.
And so he's still trying to learn the game. And it's those little nuances that are the difference. It's not always just about how you can – hold your man up if you're, a nose tackle, if you're holding up the center and get to the ball. What about the little plays that Wesley just mentioned where the back's trying to leak out or a screen pass where he's still rushing the passer while the quarterback's just lofting it over his head for a huge gain? Those right. are the little things that Sheldon Rankins was good at. Now, these are the things that you hope that Onyemata, and he has shown a ton of promise. I mean, he's always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
But now he's starting to develop. So, speaking of that, we still have we did it the backwards way, and we did the good, the bad, and ugly. But Heath started us on the path of the bad first. So now I mean, half of the people turn off the radio, quit the podcast. They're like, why are they talking all the bad? Now it's time for some good stuff. So I'm gonna go ahead and start with Tomas, because I always start with Heath.
Yeah,
and Heath don't seem to be prepared all the time.
We're going backwards anyway.
Yeah, bizarro world.
Are you ready, Tomas? Are you ready?
No, Tomas, not really. But
damn, we caught him off
guard. I filibustered there for a minute to get your thoughts together.
Well, all right. Well, I would say for the good, there's several points that you could say were good. What I'm going to say is good is Sean Payton, because I think Sean Payton, when he saw what they were doing, he was able to make adjustments, and in particular, you have to give the devil his due. We run out. It's fourth down. Everybody's like, well, guess we got to punt. And in comes, of course, the Swiss Army Blade. Now, again, when I watched it, in actuality, the Eagles were ready for it.
Yeah, he was stopped originally.
They actually had the right defense called.
I didn't think
for the fake.
I thought they had their defense on the field with the exception of a punt returner.
They had only one guy back, but they had no gunners.
Okay.
And so it was like they knew that was going to be the call. And yeah. And yeah. The guy with negative 5% body fat hit him once and then said, what? Stop me. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so the storming Mormon went forward. There you go. And we got the first down. But don't be mistaken. That call is a Sean Payton, I've got hair on my head call.
Yeah.
Hey. You see?
Why you point at me when you say that, man?
And then later in the game, we have the long drive. Now, granted, that penalty against the Rams kept the drive going, right? But that long drive sucked the energy out of the Rams. And if you watch, some of the play calls on that drive were kind of really interesting. And it's all Sean Payton. So to me, the good in this game, God bless him, I think Sean Payton had one of his best coaching games against Philadelphia.
Only here on the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 can you get that kind of analysis. Tomas, what you think? All right.
Yeah.
Heath?
So, my good, I'm going to go with Sean Payton's counterpart, who I'm often critical of.
Yes, you are.
I've not been the biggest Dennis Allen fan. And I even, during this game, made a comment about, let's see what our genius defensive coordinator can come up with after that first quarter. Well, he... whether it was him or not, I'm going to go ahead and give it. He and the rest of the defense obviously really, really came up with something, because Philadelphia was done after the first quarter.
Only 99 I mean, yards after it. The first quarter.
We gave up 170-something yards or whatever in the first quarter, and only gave up, 250 for the game?
153 in the first quarter, 97 the rest of the way.
Oh, I thought it was 99.
Yeah.
In the second, third, and fourth quarter combined, they were 0 for 5 on third down. The Eagles were 0 for 5 on third down. They had 93 yards passing, or sorry, 88 yards passing and 9 yards rushing for the second, third, and fourth quarter combined.
Yeah, so outstanding.
97 yards of offense in three quarters of a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sheldon Rankins didn't play in any of those three quarters either. So,
and I know you have the stats there. Yeah. I know you have the stats there for the quarterback, because he was 7 for 7 to start off, and then like after that, I think he completed like 3 more passes, and that was it.
It was ridiculous, and because I know it was a one score game for so long. I'm sure we were all like anxious, but it was kind of easy to miss how dominating and amazing our defense played for three. I mean, it's like, I don't think I've ever seen our defense play that great.
This is something I missed once the game got started, and of course I got in a panic and over what was happening originally. But I talked about this before the game, was that Foles was 31st in the league, second worst quarterback in the league against the zone. And I was saying that, you know, obviously the Saints' strength at cornerback, both guys are more man-to-man guys, or excel at man-to-man. Did anybody see, like, were we playing more man in the first quarter? And does anybody know if we had
the final interception? We were in zone.
Okay, so that would be more to my point. Like, did we shift to more of a zone defense, and that's the reason why Foles basically disappeared after that?
I just know that in the last interception, we were in the zone.
Because if we did, that would lead even more to Dennis Allen making an appropriate change at that point. I'm not sure about that.
I don't think that I don't have the percentages in front of me, but just having watched the game, there were a lot of plays that were made. There were different things going on, and we were in man quite a bit. And I think part of being a good defensive coordinator is you can't just stay in one thing or another. You got to mix it up. It's just when you make those calls at what time is it most appropriate. So go ahead. Go ahead, Wesley.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. I believe that we were in man way more times than we were in zone. And Von Bell and P.J. Williams stepped up after the first quarter. In the first quarter, they both had some weird plays. It was like, what were they looking at? And they weren't even around their guy. They both stepped up and made great plays the rest of the way.
All right. So here's my good. Third quarter, have you ever, and I'm sure it's happened before, but I just never heard about it, the Saints go on a drive that takes 11 minutes and 30 seconds, 11 minutes and 28 seconds, that covers 117 yards. Because of penalties. The Saints actually gained 117 yards on one drive. And it was, I don't have it written down. Where I know I wrote it down. 22 plays.
Yeah.
A 22-play, 11.5-minute drive covering 117 yards.
Yeah.
Most ridiculous thing that has ever been brought to my attention. Because I have
the entire offensive line went to the bench to suck oxygen.
But
the offensive linemen were complaining about it. I don't ever want to experience that again.
I mean, you want to talk about complete domination and just making another team feel like, because there were several third down conversions. There was one that was 3rd and 16. I mean, these are the days like 09 and 11 when the Saint, like, literally, if you can recall, because I feel it all the time, and I do, like, in my mind, it's not going to happen. Whenever the Saints are in 3rd and 12, I'm like, it ain't happening. Back in 9 and 11, it's like, that was nothing, man. To me, it's like, 3rd and 12, it's like, I mean, we have just as good a chance of converting.
Honestly, it seemed like sometime we were better on those plays than we were, you know.
Just stretch.
Because they always move Michael Thomas around.
Oh,
you put him in a slot.
Yeah, and I mean, we led the league several years in third down conversion percentage for that very reason. So,
but most insane. And again, I believe that it's probably happened before. It's just never really been brought to my attention, or maybe when I was watching the highlights on, you know, game day or whatever, they didn't point it out, or maybe it was a game that wasn't very good. They were losing by a bunch of, you know, something. I can't believe that's the only time it's ever happened. But that's just insane, especially, again, we're talking about a playoff team, a playoff game. You're not talking about a dominant team versus a team that's 3-7. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we weren't playing Falcons.
Right, exactly. So, Wesley, give me your good.
Hey, I can't believe y'all left this for me when going last, but Michael Thomas is my good. I mean, 12 catches, 171 yards, and a touchdown. And you know, honestly, the thing that I keep thinking about it is more than 171 yards was his attitude in this game. He did not smile or celebrate like I mean, he flexed, but he went right back to the huddle. Even his big touchdown where there was a guy was physically draped all over him, drew through a perfect ball to his right shoulder. He catches, he gets right up, walks to the sideline, takes off his helmet. He's got a serious look on his face. Yeah. And we know that Michael Thomas, you know, he was, you know, the can't guard Mike, and he's can get a little petty sometimes, and he can kind of get that attitude and get a little too playful, like popping out with the phone and stuff like that. That was not playoff Mike Thomas. He was not playing around. Super serious look on his face, high-fiving his teammates when they made catches and getting right back to the huddle and ready. And then we see the quotes after the game that he went to Drew and said, "You can trust me. You can count on me. You throw the ball, I will go get the ball. You can count on me the rest of the way."
97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast. When we come back, it's a Tomas rant. You don't want to miss it. Did I mean to treat you bad? But I did it anyway. And maybe. Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go.
I would say that.
Yes, Sports Talk Radio 97.7 and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Wesley, joining in on the conversation today. Just, you know, we're going to have to get you a red light or something. I mean, there ain't enough air in the room for all of us, man. We're going to have to do something about it. Something about it. But, you know, speaking of big hot air and stuff like that, I got something for you if I can find this lead in.
The jerk store called. They're running out of you.
It's going to blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me.
It's going to blow. It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Indubitably.
So, my rant for today. Now, my wife informed me that the rant that I had ready for today, some other schmuck apparently took up my rant. I didn't know that some of the other podcasts, apparently they're running scared. They have to mimic us. You know, just like they do with the defense for the Saints, you know. Now all the teams are out there doing the same thing. Well, apparently, now several podcasts, Heath, are copying us.
Yeah.
And say, oh, Tomas got that rant. We might as well do a rant too. But that's okay. I'm still going to do my rant because I do it better. So here it is. Get ready. Our team, we believe in our team, but if you listen to the national media, you never hear about our team. You hear about, wow, Dallas is hot, you know, the hot boys. Oh, it's all about Dallas. Then you hear about, you know, all the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, the Rams, oh they're going to roll over everybody. You know, oh, the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, you never hear about our Saints. Matter of fact, there's a guy who goes by his initials, WJD. No, is that not?
MJD.
Sorry, MJD. I have some words that go with MJD, but I am going to hold myself accountable to the FCC and not use those words on the air. In any case, this fat, overgrown bowling ball, that would be MJD, he gets out there and he has nothing good to say about the Saints. He basically says, hey, you know what? The Saints suck. They're no good. Okay, you go ahead with that, buddy. That's just fine. I'm glad for you people to jump on. Heath, did Dallas lose this last weekend? I believe they did.
I think so.
You know, did San Diego lose this last weekend?
I believe they did.
Did the Philadelphia Eagles, with their magic man, did they win this last weekend? No, they did not. But that's okay. But I'm going to call one guy out in particular, because this is the kind of stuff that drives, well, maybe two guys. One guy in particular. When we go to the gym in a before the sun rises in the morning, my wife and I. My wife likes to put on, because she does all that cardio in the morning, she likes to put on Good Morning Football, right? I think that's the name of that program on NFL Network. And there's a guy on there who, after the game, came on and was like, you know, I just didn't like the way it ended. You know, because I was waiting for that magic to happen, and it just wasn't a clean kill. And I was like, dude, did you see the statistics for three quarters? For three quarters, your magic man sucked. He didn't do anything. Oh, they were so close. I was waiting for him. And when he didn't make that field goal, now let me say this. If we had to miss a field goal, I hope that Lutz has got it out of his system. I hope that that's the field goal he misses and we're done. Because I can't stand here anymore, these nimrods, try to find a word, you know, talk bad about my Saints. Well, anyway, this guy's crying. He's just crying, boo-hoo-hoo, you know, my Philadelphia, boo-hoo-hoo. Why don't you give, you know, justice where it should be served? The Saints killed him for three quarters. Philly showed up for one. The Saints showed up for three. Last time I checked, winner, Saints. Now, let me go one more. Because, you know, I rant, but I'm a good sport. If your team beats us fair and square, brother, I stick my hand out, shake, and congratulate you. Now, I happen to see at the end of the game, they had some cameramen on the field. As usual, just taking raw footage for the various news agencies. And so this big guy by the name of Bennett is walking off the field crying, boo-hoo-hoo, you know. And so there's a cameraman takes a shot of him. He goes over, starts hassling the guy, and I'm thinking, dude, where is your sportsmanship? Why don't you just walk off the field, hold your head high? You made it this far. No, everybody counted you out earlier. Man, you should be proud to have gotten to where you got. The better team won. But no. And this is a reflection of the national media. You hear all the national media talk, and it's all about every other team. Now, I'm telling you right now, you will hear for the rest of this week how great the Rams are. You'll hear nothing but how great the Rams are. They're going to run all over us. They're going to pass all over us. They're going to intercept the ball. They're going to knock Drew Brees down. All that kind of stuff. Of course, it's all nonsense. But that's what they're going to do. Just like they're talking bad about the Patriots. Now, I don't like the Patriots. Don't get me wrong. But they're all talking about how, Kansas City. Oh, Kansas City's going to put a hurt on them because, you know, their defense ain't no good. New England doesn't have any kind of defense. And, you know, the old guy standing behind the line, he's no good anymore, and it's going to be cold. You know, so if it's going to be cold, you know, it's going to be snow in and ice or anything, oh, the Kansas City Chiefs have it in the bag. Well, my friends, I have to tell you, I'm going to give you my prediction right here, right now. The Saints and the New England Patriots will be in this next Super Bowl. My dreams are going to come true. Because the Patriots will take the field. Where? In Atlanta. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And my Saints will be on that field. And it'll be a tough game at first. It'll be low scoring at first. Halftime might be tied 3-3. But then the second half, the boys in black and gold will come alive, and they'll put some points on the board. And before you know it, the clock strikes zero, and the Saints in the Atlanta Sphincter Dome will win the game 28-3.
Dog.
Using the Atlanta Falcons dressing room. Dog. Using the Atlanta Falcons practice field.
Dog.
And then doing the deed right in the middle of their home field.
Dog.
Life is sweet, my friend. So you keep talking about everybody else until it's time. And when it's time, you can cry, cry, cry.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio, a Tomas rant. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back. Got all kinds of more Saints stuff to talk about.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, let's go. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, talking wall-to-wall Saints. But since I put it that way, let's go ahead and do an NFC South report that's not about the Saints.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr.
We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
Hey, hey. All right, we kind of substitute that for the NFL report. Tomas, you had all kind of stuff you wanted to talk about. You excited about it? I'm gonna let you take it over. He's like, huh? What? He's watching Netflix over there.
About it, but you know, the NFL, the NFC South, we had coaching changes.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so we know now that Arians is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And he's a good coach. That's an upgrade.
And he brought with him Leftwich.
That's all I got to say about that.
A quarterback coach that he had, and an offensive coordinator that he had, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think that who they signed somebody else. Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Bowles.
That's right, from the Jets. So they got, you know, they're starting to shore up their coaching staff there. They still believe in Jameis, so okay. I have nothing to worry about. Yeah. So, you know, good luck to them. The Atlanta Falcons have rehired Cotter to be their offensive coordinator. So, again, I'm feeling pretty good here. We got nothing going on anyplace, there. Yeah. And, of course, you got, the two-eyed wonder guy, He's like the chameleon, you got one eye going one way and the other guy going the other way. But at least we know he's the donkey wrangler. He takes care of the donkey. But speaking of the donkey, it's been kind of interesting.
We just heard the music a little while ago.
Speaking of the donkey, isn't it interesting that we haven't heard anything about what's going on with his shoulder? See, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Because Jameis apparently is going to be the guy there. Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, he'll be out on the street again. Somebody will sign him. But what about what's going on over there in the... Because after all, we made their third-string quarterback look like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Wesley, got some inside information over there. You trip over to Donkey Land.
Oh, a couple of things I saw. One with concerning Cam Newton. They asked the owner of the Panthers this week. Somebody was talking about the Andrew Luck situation, and he responded like, "Yeah, if we could give Cam Newton an entire year off and give him off the 2019 season for him to strengthen his shoulder and come back strong, of course we would do that." So they've actually brought in medical personnel, and I guess a few people have suggested that they do that.
Ashna,
just tying it into NFC South too. Mike Smith, the former head coach of the Falcons and former defensive coordinator of the Buccaneers, has announced that he will not pursue any more coaching jobs in the NFL.
That's too bad.
Hold on.
I'm sure he was on a lot of lists.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
I will not be pursuing any NFL coaching jobs in the 2019 season. Yeah. I just wanted to
Any more jobs, that means nobody has contacted me.
That's right. My agent has left me, and I have nowhere representing.
Is your lawmaker a donkey banger? It could be.
All right, so we got the NFC South report out of the way. I don't know which one of y'all giving me talking about the AFC teams that we might be playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, also, the draft has been made a little. Now we know the order except for the last four, and who's got a high pick, don't you? The Falcons.
Yeah, everybody in the NFC South except
exactly.
for the Saints.
That was my point. Exactly. Yes, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, not so exciting stuff. Come on, one of you guys, pipe up with some interesting information about who is it on the AFC side? It's Jacksonville and that was last year. It's
Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah.
And the New England Patriots.
Patriots. Who didn't think that the Patriots were done? Raise your hand. I did. I thought they were done.
I told y'all. That's why I picked them as the scariest team that I had left when we did this segment. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, so this is going to be a rematch. It was a good game the last time they played.
But they played it at the Patriots.
At the Patriots, and New England was able to pull that game out at the end. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I was going to say, but just kind of combating that is they're saying this is going to be like the coldest game ever played in Arrowhead Stadium. They're talking about negative temperatures.
Yes.
Whoa. That definitely benefits the Patriots. It's going to be like playing in New England. And I don't think that the Patriots really care about the noise of the crowd the weather.
No.
I think it's kind of funny, though. I mean, the Patriots are 11-5. They're the number two seed. They've, you know, won their division more times in a row than any team in NFL history. And then Tom Brady kind of plays the victim role after the game, like, oh, yeah, everybody's counting us out. They think we suck. I'm like, no, you're the Patriots. Like, I don't know if he's selling that, if anybody's buying that besides Dave. Then I don't know who they are.
Keep order, help. Keep order, I said.
All right. Anybody else with some AFC news?
You know that dude killed himself after that, right?
Yeah, well. I'm hoping Wesley gets the hint.
I follow up with what Wesley says. Look, a lot of people, he's trying to take it like he's the victim. But, you know, a lot of people really did say, again, if you watch the NFL Network, I can't tell you how many people talking about the young guns, right? They're all talking about, well, Mahomes and Goff. That's going to be it. You know, Breeze and Brady, they're old and their time is up. And so, you know, I don't see it that way. Like I tell you in my rant, I'm being very serious. I think New England will go into Kansas City. The weather's not going to bother them. The crowd noise is going to – nothing's going to bother them.
Right.
They're going to go in there. They're going to run the ball. That's what New England's going to do. They're going to run the ball. And Kansas City's defense, well, they did great against the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. Because the Colts showed up. I get the Colts there, too. I mean, they did great for what they were. You know, they had a great season. But the game plan they had was horrible. And Kansas City's game plan was good. There you go. End of the story. I don't think it'll be the same situation against the Patriots. I think the Patriots will come out there. You're talking about Belichick. You know? I don't see it. It'll be a competitive game. I see the Patriots running up the ball and end
because you know Belichick always takes away your best player.
Oh yeah. I for the life
that's
of
what
me.
The article said that they took away Kansas City's two top receivers, you know. So
for the life of me, I can't figure out why somebody don't write that down and the next week apply that themselves because he's the only genius. It's a pet peeve of mine every
hear it. We need to go and we need to do a coaching clinic
And write a book.
So we can get all these NFL coaches and explain to them what it is that Belichick
or maybe
is doing.
A pamphlet. If we could just do a pamphlet, it'd be inexpensive to like little trifold.
We'll go stick it under the windshield wiper for the coaches' cars.
And just say, Coach, what you don't realize is – I know you're the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right. You got to take away what they do best.
See, now you're missing an opportunity to monetize.
Oh.
What you have to do is,
Bitcoin.
You know, just like they do on the internet. You give them only so much, and then it fades away.
Oh, yeah,
all
yeah,
you have to do is, and it says, read more.
Right.
You see? And then once you read more, that's right. You press that just for
operators are standing by.
That's correct. There you go, you see?
No, it's. I mean, seriously, it's a pet peeve. Like okay, if and maybe this is just their complete lack of understanding of anything other than some basic cliche that they can't explain why he's the greatest. So they say, because he takes away what they do best. He won't let that guy that's really good, you know, insert name here, do that to him because he takes away their best player.
Right.
I mean, geez and crackers, get over that.
Look, the reason that the Patriots are good is quite simple.
Because they play in a sorry division.
No,
that's not it. You want to go ahead and answer that? I get confused.
Go ahead.
I get confused with your rhetorical question sometimes.
All right, go ahead. Okay. It's simply because they have a system in place. And then they only sign free agents that fit their system. They don't change the system. They don't say, we're going to draft this guy, and now we're going to turn into a passing team. Now I'm going to draft this guy, I'm going to turn into a running team. Now I'm going to draft this guy, I'm going to turn into a defensive team. Right? No. It's like, Belichick says, for 10 years, this has been working for me. We pick players that fit this system. If they don't fit this system, bye-bye.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's totally about their system. Their system of playing the Miami Dolphins, the Buffalo Bills, and the New York Jets six times a season. Yeah.
The man is helping them.
No, I mean, they've definitely got a system, and they've got the Patriot way. That drives me insane when people talk about the Patriot way. we're underpay people and cut them and let them go somewhere else and be good. I don't know what the Patriot way is, but they do play the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets six times a year.
That is true, but that argument doesn't hold water when they get into the playoffs and the Super Bowls and do what they do. So it's like, you know.
That's it.
It's frustrating is what it is.
They fresh. That's why. They got fresh legs.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just saying, I'm trying to help. If they take away the Jets and the Dolphins and
well, we
got to
start preparing now for what to do about Michael Thomas when he's gone because Belichick can
take
him away.
That's right.
And so we got to do something.
And then
else.
When they play those other guys, they don't have a best player. So then what does he do? You don't take nothing away. I don't know. All right, let's switch gears here for a second. Teron Armstead, maybe arguably the second best player when healthy on the Saints roster. All right, so he's out with the pec injury, and anyway, he says, they asked him how he was. He said, it's a good pain. It's a good feeling. It's a good, terrible feeling. The point is, he made it through the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, he still has some injuries, but, I mean, he looked good.
Yeah, he
did. And he made it through the whole game. If he can make it two more games, it's a complete game changer to have him out there.
When they asked him if he celebrated with Drew Brees on that touchdown on that long drive, he said, hell no, I was headed for the oxygen tank.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well, that's a guy, man, he's probably on the bike on the sidelines, is not getting that real life experience.
So I have a question for you, Dave. Was it the left pectoral muscle or the right pectoral muscle?
I think it's his right pec.
Well, that explains why Pete is having a hard time, because that would be the side next to Pete. Uh-huh. Just saying, you know.
All right, he got that whole thing figured out. Yeah, hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, it's the My Bookie Picks of the Week.
Woo!
Who are you picking?
He wakes up in the morning.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmina of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. Now back to more BS and Beer Podcast. Remember our motto in Boudreaux Parish. We will find you and we will tase you.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's time for the My Bookie Picks of the Week. But before we do that, we have a couple other things we're going to discuss. I think we're going to talk a little bit about who we think's going to win in the AFC and then who we think's going to win in the NFC. Isn't that kind of the pick-ems?
That would be a short conversation.
Well, I think what we should do is go pro and con for each of the two teams that are playing. And then make our pick.
All right. And
maybe that'll be a better way to do it.
And then we'll not only make a pick, but then we'll decide who we would prefer to play. Because I would think that, isn't that pretty much going to be the opposite? I think this team's going to win. But I'd rather play the other team because obviously they're not good enough to beat that team.
Not necessarily.
But it sounded good in the pre-production meeting whenever we laid that out. All
five
right.
minutes
so
ago.
We can start with that.
All right.
So in the AFC. We got the Bengals playing the
no.
I got that confused again.
Yeah.
Why does
the Jaguars?
Why do the Jaguars keep popping up in every conversation that we have?
I have no idea.
No idea. Last year
we got the New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right,
there you go.
So
I'll start off. I agree with my buddy Tomas. I think New England is going to make it to the Super Bowl yet again. Disgustingly.
Don't be so upset about it.
I am, man. I'm so sick of New England. But the bottom line is I just, at this point, especially after the way they looked last week, I'm certainly not going to pick against them right now.
All right. So
they're not going to be bothering Kansas City like we talked about. They have more playoff games than every other team in the NFL combined.
Wow.
You know,
I don't realize that.
True. Seems like it. I'm
you
sure it's
go,
not.
You said with authority. I was like, wow.
Wow, I didn't
Tom
realize
Brady's
it.
Been in 31 playoff games. So
yeah,
that's got to be a record. He's been in 31
playoffs. Oh, yeah, it's definitely an individual record for him. By comparison, Drew Brees just played in, what, his 14th?
Just benefited by playing for a coach that knows to take away the other team's best weapon.
Well, that's
true
it.
True story.
That's it. I mean, when you got that on your side, I mean, hell.
Yeah,
you know.
There you go.
All right, so.
Now, am I supposed to talk about who I want to play? Or?
Well, then I was going to say, I was gonna help you out and transition into that, but
go
you
ahead.
Just jump right into
yeah.
it. You got to ease it in there.
No, I don't. I ram it in.
All right.
So, the bottom line is I would prefer to play the Chiefs.
Would you really?
Yes.
Okay, do you think the Saints match up well? We beat the Chiefs?
I don't know whether the Saints match up well or not. I want to play the guy, the unshakable rookie. I'd rather play him in his first Super Bowl and with that Kansas City defense than to play New England.
That's a pretty good point.
It is. I would say and just kind of going through the whole thing, if this game was being played in a 40-degree Kansas City environment, I would probably pick the Chiefs to actually win, but I'd want the Patriots to win. And with this temperature coming in, saying that the high of the game is going to be 15, and they're talking about being negative temperatures on the field by the end of the game, I am picking the Patriots to win, and I definitely prefer playing the Patriots. Two reasons. One, I think we match up better against the Patriots. And two, I like the idea of Breeze's two Super Bowl victories being against Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
That would be great.
Now, that right there, wouldn't those two skins look good on Drew Breeze's wall?
Yeah. I mean, beating – he's only got two, but what two does he have?
The all-time greatest quarterbacks to play
the
game.
Other than Drew Breeze, the next two best guys.
Tomas, I mean, you want to see him beat Tom Brady, or do you prefer to see the Kansas City
Chiefs?
Well,
I'll start with this. I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs have excellent coaching. I believe that they have, even though he's young, I believe that the quarterback that they have has shown that he can play against any team. They have an outstanding receiver who can, just like Michael Thomas, except that he's smaller and faster, but like Michael Thomas, he's dependable. So I think Kansas City has some real positives. Defensively, their linebacking core seems to be pretty much on the ball when they blitz and do some exotic packages. Their weakness, I think, is the backfield. But, they seem to have a pretty good special team. So when you weigh that against New England had Gordon to take the top off, not there anymore. But you could say the same thing for the Chiefs. They had a running back, and he's not there anymore. So both teams sort of have a similarity between them. Good coaching, good players. But when you throw in all of the other parts of the puzzle, I heard somebody, I believe it was the Philadelphia Eagles safety, Malcolm Jenkins, who said, you can't beat Breeze at the thinking game. I would say the same thing about Tom Brady.
Sure.
I would say that, okay, he's not the most mobile guy in the world. He might be getting older, and he doesn't have quite the zip that he used to have on his passing. But I don't think you're going to outthink Tom Brady. He's been in 31 playoffs or thereabouts. I think he's pretty much seen everything you're going to throw at him. So with that, and just they just believe in themselves. I believe I would have to say that the Patriots will win this game. What's the spread on the game?
I was going to look that up while you were talking.
You should have done that.
Patriots, it's Kansas City by 3.
Yeah, so I definitely would take the Patriots and the points. It's mybookies.com. You got to say something about mybookie.com. So I would take the 3 points and the New England Patriots in this game.
You don't think that we'd have an easy time with Tyreek Hill, since he's basically Tommy Lee Lewis, if Tommy Lee Lewis could run fast and play football?
I didn't say that. I just said who I would pick in this game. I mean, didn't get to that part yet.
Wait, hold up. Wait,
if Tommy Lee Lewis could run fast and play football, he would beat Tyreek Hill.
Okay, I missed that part.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he's Tommy
Lee
Lewis.
Other than those things, they look just alike.
If I'm Tommy Lee Lewis, if I could catch, run, shorter,
darker in this case,
complexion. The whole thing.
Wait, be careful now.
Be careful. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Personally, I'm scared of Mahomes, but you're right. Like, I'm just not impressed. I just realized something. New England to me is what I think the rest of the national media is to the Saints. It's like we have a all-world quarterback, but he just does his job and he's not flashy.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. I look at the Patriots and I'm just like, but they're good, they're effective, they're efficient, and they win. So to me, I feel like I'm scared of Mahomes because he just makes plays, but I'd much prefer to go up against a defense that can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
And take my chances with our good defense going against Mahomes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, the Kansas City had some losses down the stretch there. I want to see this young guy come into a Super Bowl and have that same kind of poise and run across the field 30 yards to the right and throw the ball 40 yards back to the left and not have that blow up in his face in the Super Bowl. That's what I want to see.
Yep.
I'd rather go up against that than the damn Patriots.
Well, I understand that, but at the end of the day, you know, both teams have things that the Saints could exploit. I don't necessarily think that the defense for the New England Patriots is without problems, you know. So I think either way, I believe the Saints could play against either defense and score points. I would be more concerned about our defensive backfield, you know, our corners, against someone like Brady. That would be what I would be more concerned about.
Yeah.
So I certainly would agree with everyone. I'd prefer to play the Chiefs than the Patriots, but
we talked about the, you know, Patriots and Bill Belichick earlier. I mean, do you have confidence with the Saints' offense being able to move the ball and be productive after he takes away Taysom Hill, and we just have to let Breeze and Michael Thomas and Kamara like run the offense?
No, you got that wrong. See, because I think what he would take away. No. I think he would take away Josh Hill. You got the wrong Hill.
Our best player.
I think he would take away Josh Hill, so we wouldn't have any tight end play at all. Yeah. You see. So
it's a playoff Josh Hill. This year will be Super Bowl Josh Hill.
There you go.
Maybe so. So far, Josh Hill has taken away Josh Hill.
There you go. So, well, I think that's just the when you look at it, as I say to you, I think both teams have positives and weaknesses to it. But now let's get on to the Rams and the Saints game, and let's talk about those two teams.
All right. So the Rams and the Saints are playing.
So they say.
All right. So Heath, give me your insight.
Inside on
favored by 3.5.
It's the pick 'em.
I'm
it's
going
the my
the
bookie
Saints.
Picks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks.
Was that? Yeah.
That's deep. Anything?
Yeah.
Anything? No.
No, I got nothing.
Well, there you go.
That's it.
All right, Wesley. Give
Saints
us
win.
Saints.
Yeah. I think that our defense is playing much better right now, and then the Rams' offense is playing worse. There's no way they're going to come in and score 35 that like they did earlier in the season. Now, having said that, I'm not sure if we're going to score 45 either. I think our defense is going to step up, kind of ride off of what they did in the last three quarters of the Eagles. I'll definitely take the Saints in the 3.5. I think that we can probably double that and win by a full touchdown.
All right, I'm going to tell you this. I think that I posted this before the Philadelphia game, and I'm going to post it again. Because I've already heard that many of the Rams players are seeking revenge.
Okay.
Again.
They got to come up with something unique.
I'm just telling you what they say. And so I'm like, really? What did I say last time? If you have to depend on that to motivate your team, you've already lost. You're already running scared. You know? So last time, Peters was all upset, right? Because he was getting beat. And oh, that's okay now. We got Talib now. Well, you know what? I don't care if you got they're both a bunch of thugs who think they're somebody. You know, once upon a time, Talib was a good player. I'm not saying that he wasn't. So was Peters. But their time has passed. Yeah. Especially because this ain't no Jimmy Graham, okay? You don't have, you know, soft serve without sprinkles. No, sir. Michael Thomas is a soft serve with sprinkles, okay? That's what I have to say. All right.
97.7, the BS and Beer podcast.
Hey, why are you cutting us off, bro?
Hey, man, it's time to go.
I finally had something to say.
For Heath Elson-Sahn, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero. We'll talk to you next week.
Who that?
Anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't.